of the review, our last segment of the day, Jemele Hill's comments on Twitter. It's bringing up a firestorm across the nation. And pretty much what she did was she had some comments about the president. And once again, you can listen to us on our podcast on iTunes and on After Further Review. And also joined by David the Man of God Harris. And we'll talk a little bit about her reaction from her fellow employees and also across the nation. A lot of people have been, you know, it's been kind of controversial with their show, The Six, that replaced the original Sports Center. And David, as he joins us, everyone talks about duh, never mix politics with sports. But I mean, let's face it, politics has been in sports for over the years. Some people use it as their own platform. But then what is it too much? And sometimes it makes you wonder, when should you keep your mouth shut? I mean, I know my grandmother has always told me it's your job. You never should talk religion and politics. But it seems more and more that these networks kind of push the envelope a little bit when it comes to trying to at least get ratings. But I kind of think, you know, I understand people have freedom of speech and they need to talk about things. I kind of think a little bit, and I'll look at some of Jemele Hill's comments, that she may have went a little bit too far. David, what do you think?
No, I don't think that she went too far at all. I agree with kind of the people that are saying, you know, freedom of speech, it's her social media platform, it's her personal page, she's allowed to express whatever she wants. I think it's more saying and telling that the network is coming out and say, oh, we had a conversation with Jemele Hill, oh, we want her to, you know, quote unquote, stick to sports and kind of. You have all these different personalities on ESPN that have all these competing views. And the stigma is, look at ESPN has become more and more, quote unquote, liberal with the networks. You know, the fictitious sports group is getting larger and larger. But at the same time, like, it's her personal opinion. It's her opinion on the current president. It's her opinion on how she feels about him. Like, I don't see why this has become so much of a firestorm. Whereas we get, like you said, policies intertwined. We have all the other sports. Like, so many of the major sports have political stances. We saw, like we're in the middle of the Colin Kaepernick thing, and people are, you know, not giving them a job because of their political stance and their political view.
Well, yeah, but we can say that, but also, David, Colin Kaepernick isn't also a top tier quarterback, and I understand that life's a little unfair here. But let's face it: if Colin Kaepernick was a top tier quarterback or like Tom Brady, he'd have a job. We all know that; we can all agree on that. But a lot of people don't want that baggage of a backup quarterback having these political views and possibly dividing the locker room. Let's face it. I'm sure, you know, everyone's standing in solidarity, everything. Like the Cleveland Browns, I thought was a pretty cool thing they did last week where, you know, they ran out there with the cops and the firefighters because there were some guys that wanted to, you know, basically not go to the games because of them not standing during the anthem. Also, the Detroit Lions fan who the Lions did a really good job of revoking their season tickets when they took pictures of an African-American couple sitting down during the national anthem, and then they were calling them the N-word. You know, that's totally, you know, acceptable. Now, we're seeing that from the African-American view, and, you know, you got to look at it at the other view here. And I got some of the comments here, you know. Donald Trump is a white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. You know, I'm not a Trump fan. I'm not. I didn't vote for the guy. But at the same time, though, there's a boundary of where you have to kind of respect the presidency. And whether or not you have those views or not, there's no hardcore evidence that he's a white supremacist. I mean, you know, now if he's coming out and he's going to these rallies and he's doing these certain things and he's dressing up maybe in the Ku Klux Klan outfit or whatever, someone catches him or whatever like that, then you got the hardcore proof. The only reason why I kind of have this view is because this was kind of the opposite backlash of what President Obama had, which I thought was very disgusting from the other end of the spectrum where people were saying that he was Muslim, he was a terrorist, he was this, he was that, and just totally untruths. And I thought that was disrespecting the presidency and disrespecting that man himself. granted, you have these views, but you can't really be doing that. You know, you could sit there and say, I don't agree with Trump's policies. I don't agree on certain like that. But you can't throw out these darts and basically accuse him and say that he's a white supremacist. Now, some people in his cabinet have been known to probably be associated with white nationalists or white supremacy parties. That's partially true, but to sit there and say he's a white supremacist, you can't really say that. I mean, he could be. We don't know that until we get the hardcore proof. I mean, he's pretty much a businessman, and I think he caters to people that really support him, and that's what I guess you got to do, you know, sometimes if you want to win a presidency. But, you know, until he comes out and starts saying really some hardcore stuff or things that are inappropriate, you can't throw that. You know, or saying the height of white privilege is being able to ignore his white supremacy because it's no threat to you. Well, it's a threat to me. Trump is the most ignorant offensive president of my lifetime. His rise is a direct result of white supremacy, period. Part of that comment, he's right. She's right. He is somewhat, you know, ignorant. He is offensive. He doesn't really think before he speaks. He goes on Twitter a lot. But then when you start throwing in the white supremacy, it kind of takes a little bit of validity from your comments. And I think that's what I think it was just basically in poor taste.
Well, I mean, I can see that for a second. I just, in terms of, at least for me, I don't, and the more and more I look at the political thing and, you know, kind of everyone saying to sports and everyone like kind of protecting the comment. For me, I still think it's her expressing your opinion, whether we agree with it or not. I personally think, you know, she's 100% spot on, just looking at the political aspect, looking at who he's aligning himself with, who, or what he says or doesn't say, when he says it. Just kind of like all these things are checked off.
So do you think he's a white supremacist then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think a lot of her stuff that she says is pretty much aligned, but I think that white supremacy thing that takes away some of the validity of it. That's just like people saying, well, the Black Lives Matter movement is terrorist and they're racist too. Well, we all know that that's not true, but people will throw that out there. And when people say that stuff, it's just like, well, I can't really take you seriously. And that's what I kind of look at with Jemele Hill. I think sometimes you got to be very careful when you walk that tight line of racial sensitivity and divide and throwing those words out there, white supremacy or terrorist or whatever it may cause, because I think she makes some good points, but then they get invalid when you throw in the white supremacy and you pretty much give a platform for some of these people that want people to follow their movement. And I say that you got to be very careful, as especially an African American or a minority that has celebrity, do not give some of these hate groups more fuel to the fire for their platform. You're just helping the people that recruit them. They're saying, see, we're oppressed too. They don't want to hear our, when we say it, we get fired. When we do this, we're oppressed. When we do that, blah, 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 blah. Do we know, you know, can you say that, you know, some of these, you know, some people say, well, why are these guys always crying? You know, they got the advantage, you know, in the corporate world. And let's be honest, if you're a white male between 18 and 49, you got a little bit of a leg up on people. Let's face it, that is somewhat in a true sense. But there's people out there that don't believe that. They believe that they're oppressed. And then you get these Jemele Hill comments out here. And once again, they're just going to use that for more recruitment. So I think in retrospect with Jemele Hill, what you're saying, I get. But I think you're being a little bit reckless. And I think it kind of takes away from when African-Americans are trying to make improvements and trying to take steps to basically get true equality. And then you go and do this. They could try to use the reverse racism card against you. And that's what's troubling to me. And then on top of that, ESPN didn't really suspend it or anything like that. And on Deadspin, you can go get the article because we're pretty much running out of time here. People are saying that at ESPN that there's people that have done less than what Jemele Hill's done. I mean, she went on a really much a Twitter rant and they got fired and they did nothing to her. And, you know, the ratings are bad. And I understand, especially being an African American woman, you know, it's tough for her in the business. Trust me, the business, till you get to the national level, there's going to be a lot of places that, be honest with you, not going to really hire African Americans. Now, is that because of racism? I think part of that is too, but also in the media, if you want to get ratings, you want to get relatability. So if you're going to a market where it's probably going to be predominantly white, they're probably not going to really hire you because you can't relate to that audience. That's just the way the coin is flipped sometimes. You know, more urban areas, they're going to hire more minorities because there's the relatability for that minority population. But at the same time, though, as minorities, as African Americans, we have a real huge responsibility of not trying to add fuel to the fire, add something for these hate groups. You're going to have to be careful of what you say. And that's where I see the point with Jemele Hill. I feel your pain, Jemele. I feel your pain. But don't put that out there publicly because they can turn that around and use it against you. And that's something that you don't want to happen.
Well, my thing is kind of in just that last part. I mean, if she doesn't put it out there publicly, then it's going to happen regardless. Like, I still think people are going to kind of find kind of the reverse racism regardless if she puts it, you know, out there in public or private. But I think...
Well, keep it private then. You don't... Because if you put it in public on Twitter, come on. Twitter is the... We've had this discussion before, David. Twitter is the land of nobodies trying to be somebodies. And right there, you put out the meat and the bait for some nobody to become a somebody. I bet you somebody that's out there that could be a closeted racist or really a public bigot is using this crap to recruit people to feed into their own, you know, beliefs. And we don't need that. We don't need anything else to be pushing us backwards. If anything, you know, you might want to take the Martin Luther King approach. Now, I understand there's some people out there saying, you know, well, if you take the Martin Luther King approach, it's just going to, you know, slap you around and everything else. And we need to take a more of a vocal, violent approach. But, remember, we're the minority, so more times than not, you know, I want to fight the good fight in the battle, but sometimes you got to pick your battles, and some of them you're not going to win.
Well, I mean, I think, well, two things. One, I think getting it out in public gets people to see, like, hey, these are the, hey, look at your neighbor, here's the bigot. Like, it shows true colors. And then two, I think this is all escalated by the White House kind of coming out and making the comment that, oh, you know, like White House personnel are saying ESPN should be fired. And my thing is, you know, to quote, you know, our good friend LeVar Ball, just stay in your lane. Like, this has nothing to do, like, the White House has nothing to say. Like, why are you bringing it up? Like, the White House is the one that's kind of fanning the flames. Like, everyone else is like, well, and it wasn't until after the White House comment that the ESPN made their statement. So it's like, if I'm the White House, it's like, why are you focusing on less important things? Like, people, because people talk about the president all the time. Again, it's just when someone on ESPN does it, now, like, it's this big controversy that we have to get.
ESPN is a big deal. It's a big company and it has a big influence on people. So yeah, they're gonna recognize the big guy than the little guy. And she has to remember that whatever you say reflects whoever your employer is. We've had this at WXUT a few years ago, and we'll wrap this up, that a guy said something about the Steubenville rapes, and he was a DJ, just a DJ, and he had it on Twitter, and somehow, some way, he got linked to us. It actually was on his own personal page. It wasn't even on his show page, and we had to remove the guy because people were thinking that we were endorsing rape culture. I mean, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? And the guy was a white male too. I mean, so some people could say, well, you know, if so and so would have said this, would this have happened? But no, you can't condone that stuff. And racism is racism, whether it's from whites or from blacks. And you can't be throwing out, well, he's a white supremacist. And there's no truth to that. Granted, he could surround himself with people, but until I think President Trump goes out there and saying white power or doing something, some foolishness, or wearing the white hood, you can't do that. You got to be a little bit more careful and not be so reckless. And I understand that's your personal belief. I still don't understand why people go to Twitter I that befuddles me. Why do you have to go to Twitter to give out your personal beliefs? If you need to say something, you know, write it in a journal or something. Or if you're not with ESPN and you just by yourself, you know, and you're rolling solo, then hey, you can do that. But like I said, I really think a lot of these hate groups are going to be starting to increase because, you know, we're not being responsible and saying, you know what, let's stop this hate. You know, let's be responsible about this and putting out material like what Jemele Hill's doing so they can help their cause. Because they're going to sit there and say, well, see, they didn't do nothing to her. I bet you if that was a white guy, he would have got fired and humiliated. You know, hey, you know, it is what it is. I think that she should be fired? No. You know, First Amendment rights and everything like that. Do I think maybe there should have been some disciplinary action? Yeah, possibly. Because, like I said, any other situation, whether it's racism, rape, or anything that's a touchy subject, if you go out that bold like that, someone's going to be facing consequences. It's going to be more than just a stern talking in someone manager's office. Final thoughts, David.
Well, I mean, and ESPN tried to take her off the air for a show, but then both Michael Smith and the two co-hosts, who are both African-American, they were all like, no, we keeping Jemele, like, we ain't. Like, Michael Smith's like, nope, I'm not doing the show without her, and then...
Well, yeah, I feel her. I mean, I totally feel that, but I with that being said, I hope he also had a conversation behind closed doors and be like, look, you know, don't be messing this up. I mean, I understand, you know, your personal beliefs and how you feel, but I think it could have been worded better. The reason why I'm disappointed with her, because I believe she's a really elegant writer. I mean, she's gotten in trouble before for saying things. I haven't been able to bring up those posts. But I think it could have been worded a little bit differently. Instead of throwing in, like I said, the one tweet was really right on until she threw in the word white supremacist. And then it just kind of, it just deflated the whole comment. You know, we all know that he makes dumb comments. We all know that he's somewhat brash and ignorant and sometimes a little uncouth. But you can't throw in white supremacist. That's just almost like saying that Obama is Muslim and he's a terrorist, when we all know that's not true.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think, you know, people are going to view her comments one way or the other, and then people are going to respond one way. At the end of the day, people are still going to tune in to ESPN and watch. So
True. So, like I said, I really think sometimes you got to be a little bit smarter than the opposition and be creative of how you attack them, so to speak. And sometimes it can come back to, you know, bite you in the behind if you speak a little bit too sharp of the tongue. But anyway, David, thanks for calling in, man. Next week we'll still be on the show. I possibly might be going down to Columbus and seeing David.
Live show from somewhere in Columbus?
Yeah. No, we'll be doing the show, and then I'll be coming down there later, and you can show me, you know, some of the wonderful stuff of Columbus. I'll be at a coach's clinic Sunday and Monday.
I mean, there's not much in Columbus, unless you want to watch Ohio State football and deal with those people.
David, I'm going to start calling you the hater from now on, David. But, dude, have a good...
No,
just call you the man of God, Harris, or the minister.
Yeah, like the haters, that's Chad. Right. That's for, you exactly. know.
Well, David, have a good weekend. Enjoy some college football.
All right, you too.
Yeah, that was David, the man of God, Harris, on the phone lines. I had to get that out for the segment. I know we went over just a little bit, but we're going to get on out of here. You got In the Record Store coming up next here on 88.3 WXUT. As once again, you got to listen to Frank and his rant a little bit about Baker Mayfield. We also listened to the rant of we get that music on there from David as well. Make sure you check us out every Saturday, 11 to 1. You can get us on Facebook after Further Review Facebook page. We've got the video for you. Also, we're going to be on the iTunes and on SoundCloud at WXUT after Further Review. For David, Frank, and sometimes Jed, I'm Derek Lawson. This has been a presentation of 88.3 WXUT's After Further Review. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Peace! Make sure you check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud. We'll be back next week, 11 to 1, same time, same place, 88.3 WXUT After Further Review.